NATA comes out against residential through the fence. Ejection seat issues ground the Eurofighter Typhoon. And the KC-390 adds a European partner. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 24th, 2010. The U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure has been hearing testimony on residential through-the-fence agreements this week, trying to decide whether it should let the FAA ban them. One of the odder bits of testimony came from James Coyne, president of the National Air Transportation Association. NATA can trace its DNA back to the National Aviation Training Association, which was formed in 1940 and is credited with preserving general aviation when the Army wanted to clear the skies of all civilian aircraft during World War II. So today's NATA might be expected to defend the interest of GA pilots against a federal bureaucracy which wants to ban hangar homes despite no basis in data, right? Well, apparently not. Coyne testified that NATA agrees with the FAA that residential TTFs, quote, reduce the future purpose of the airport, which undermines the investment made by the federal government and airport businesses, unquote. NATA has a coalition of constituencies which include air taxi, charter, cargo, and other business interests, but it's also supposed to represent FBOs, which have increased opportunities for business and, in some cases, a more viable airport through TTFs. Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org also testified this week. He's consented to let me debrief him for next Wednesday's Aero News special feature. Spain and Germany both have grounded their fleets of Eurofighter combat aircraft while they await the results of a probe into possible problems with the airplane's ejection system. AFP News reports the German Defense Ministry said the problem was noticed during an inspection and brought to the attention of the aircraft's manufacturers. Quote, in certain circumstances, the ejector seat does not operate faultlessly in case of emergency, unquote. Britain says it has taken corrective action on the ejection seats in its Eurofighters following an accident in Spain last month in which a Saudi Air Force officer was fatally injured during a training flight. The Spanish instructor aboard the aircraft was able to eject safely, but the pilot did not survive. Britain says it has made modifications to the harness system on the seats and has returned all 54 of its Typhoons to service. The Eurofighter is built by a consortium made up of EADS, BAE Systems, and Alenia Finmeccanica. Embraer continues building an international partnership for development of its KC-390 military transport jet. In a ceremony earlier this week in Prague, the defense ministers of Brazil, Nelson Jobim, and the Czech Republic, Alexander Vondra, signed a declaration of intent regarding Czech participation in the 390. Negotiations now start for the acquisition by the Czechs of two of the planes and the involvement of Czech industry in its design and manufacture. At Farnborough in July, Embraer announced it had a commitment for 28 of the planes from the Brazilian government, and Chile, Colombia, and Portugal have since come on board, raising the potential number of orders to 54. Up next on ANN, ASAP grows to include controllers. Environmentally friendly de-icing is coming. And airline fee transparency may not be simple to achieve. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 24th. I'm Paul Platt. A safety program created by the FAA will, for the first time, integrate voluntary safety information self-reported by pilots and air traffic controllers. This data-sharing program was unveiled on Wednesday by the FAA and will give the agency a more complete picture of the national airspace system by collecting, assessing, and reviewing safety events from both perspectives. United Airlines and its pilots have the first agreement in place to participate. The FAA expects to sign similar agreements with other carriers in the future. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt explains, quote, "This revolutionary program will give us an incredible amount of data that will help us find problems, make corrections, and avoid incidents. I applaud air traffic controllers, pilots, and airlines for their dedication to keeping our aviation system as safe as possible," unquote. Thermo Energy Corporation, a maker of wastewater recovery technology and systems, has announced a strategic alliance with Contigo Systems, which provides EPA-approved aircraft de-icing services to more than 30 airline companies at major airport hubs around the U.S. Together, the companies are developing an environmentally friendly aircraft de-icing system. Contigo's de-icing process utilizes a spray solution of glycol. Once the de-icing process is completed, Contigo collects the excess de-icing fluid from the surface of the ground using specialized vacuum equipment. Under the new alliance, Contigo will use Thermo Energy's cast-ion aircraft de-icing fluid recovery system to recover and recycle 98% to 99% pure glycol from the collected fluid. Contigo partner and COO Ronald DeLucia explains, quote, "Thermo Energy's cast-ion aircraft de-icing fluid recovery systems will help Contigo eliminate glycol disposal costs, recover and recycle the value of the glycol in the wastewater fluids we collect, lower the overall carbon footprint of our de-icing operations, and help us continue to meet or exceed EPA regulations," unquote. A group of consumer advocates met with U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood Monday to cheer on his efforts to require transparency in airline ticket pricing. Participants presented LaHood with a letter from organizations representing more than 300 consumer groups from the U.S. and Europe, urging the mandatory disclosure of all airline fees. The letter says, in part, quote, "The airlines have every right to make a fair profit and set fares and fees that allow them to do so, but they have no right to try to hide those prices from their customers," unquote. In response, travel industry representatives have told Bloomberg a one-size-fits-all solution will not be useful to consumers, and that airlines are headed toward transactions in which many variables are customized to individual traveler needs and preferences. Why is it I expect all those variables to have their own a la carte fees? Still ahead, Boeing is recognized for its greenness. AIA retains its members and adds 8 new ones. And a one-of-a-kind event gets underway at El Mirage. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 24th. I'm Paul Plack. Given the criticism heaped on air travel by environmentalists, this might seem counterintuitive, but the Carbon Disclosure Project has recognized Boeing as one of the world's leading companies in reporting climate change risks and taking actions to improve environmental performance. And it's the second year in a row that Boeing has been so honored. The Carbon Disclosure Project is an investor-funded nonprofit that produces a comprehensive survey of global corporate carbon emissions. The group lists the Boeing company in its 2010 Carbon Disclosure Leadership Index. Paul Dickinson, chief executive of the Carbon Disclosure Project, notes, quote, "Companies that make this index have also demonstrated clear consideration of how climate change is and will impact their business," unquote. For Boeing, it's not just about avoiding picketers. VP Mary Armstrong explains, quote, "We've seen many instances where impressive cost savings and productivity enhancements resulted from employee-led activities to reduce our environmental footprint. This has helped us enhance our product performance, reduce costs, and meet the needs of our customers while becoming more environmentally efficient," unquote. At major U.S. facilities since 2002, Boeing says it has reduced CO2 emissions by 31%, energy consumption by 32%, water consumption by 43%, and hazardous waste generation by 38% on a revenue-adjusted basis. The Aerospace Industries Association is announcing 8 new member companies and the retention of all last year's members despite the tense economy. AIA President Marion Blakey observes, quote, "Clearly, our work to improve the business climate for aerospace and defense manufacturers is paying positive dividends for our industry and the association," unquote. The new members are AGC Aerospace and Defense, Certan Software, Circor International, Cubic Defense Applications, Galactic Ventures, PRTM, Realization Technologies, and Wesco Aircraft Hardware Corporation. And finally, the Ken Brock Freedom Fly-In officially starts today on the El Mirage Dry Lake Off-Highway Vehicle Recreation Area in California. And within a few hours after you hear this, I expect to be there with friends from the Utah Rotorcraft Association. The event is named after the late gyroplane pioneer Ken Brock, whose family still has a ranch on the edge of the lake, and hosts us all for a corn roast on Saturday night. Officially, it's called the Freedom Fly-In because there's no charge for admission. But the name of the event also recognizes a celebration of the spirit of Part 103. Sadly, the U.S. Bureau of Land Management decided it needed to fence the lake in and charge $15 a day for admission. That's dramatically cut down on the number of locals who come, but unfortunately has not brought enough enforcement to stop the idiots who intentionally tear up the surface of the lake bed. The roughly 2-by-6-mile oval floods in the winter with runoff from surrounding areas, which redistributes the clay and silt so uniformly that when the water dries in the spring, the surface is reportedly level to within a half inch over the entire lake. It's as hard as some paved roads and smoother than most, which makes it a perfect place for playing with small aircraft. I'm not sure, but I think I'll get my first chance this weekend to fly a gyroglider towed behind a truck, something which can only be done with that much open, flat space and a driver who knows what he's doing. I also look forward to my once-a-year chance to catch up with old friends and make a few new ones. There are some truly unique machines and people at El Mirage for this event every year. I'll try to bring back some pictures and stories for you next week. In the meantime, if you find yourself anywhere in the greater Adelanto-Victorville metropolitan area this weekend, follow the signs to Gyrocopter Cove and say hello. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Larry Wood of the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum in Oregon talks about what went into building the museum's amazing Titan II missile launch simulator. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.